Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are so grateful to be here on this Tuesday, the 14th day of April 2020. I tell you, God is so good and his mercies endure forever and ever. It is so wonderful to know that we are alive and well and God is doing great things. It's marvelous in our eyes, and we have come to praise him, to pray, to understand his word, to get an understanding of where we need to be in him and to move on in the Lord, because we need to rise in the Lord. That's what we need to do, is to rise in the Lord as an edifice higher and higher, higher. And as we seek the Lord, we will find him. As we call upon him, we know that he is near to us, and he's the one and only wise God who sees everything. He knows everything. All power is in his hands, and the world is ruled at his command. So we thank the Lord this morning for each one who has joined us today. We know that you could be doing something else. You could be asleep. You could be just taking care of other things this morning, but we thank you for joining in with us, and we hope that you will receive something today that will be beneficial to your life and your walk with Jesus Christ and the things that we need to be doing to not only live for Jesus, but to tell others about Jesus and his love. So our one of our missions should be to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter who we are as a believer, we have a responsibility to share the word of God with somebody. And so as we get started today at Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministries, we are in the hour of power of prayer, and we're grateful that God is on our side. He's in us now, and he is taking us to a place where we have not been before. Even today is a new day. So we thank God for this day, and we continue to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So let us pray, and then we will go into the word this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Lord God Almighty, we just thank you for your greatness, for your love, your peace, your joy, for just knowing that you are with us, Lord. You would never leave us nor forsake us. You are the Ancient of Days, and as big as you are, as wide as you are, as great as you are, you never change. You remain the same. So we thank you, Lord, for just being here with us and showing us the way, Lord, and thank you so much because you know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and we continue to see your work in our lives and the lives of the people, Lord. And so this morning, we're grateful for Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he did on the cross, what he did even just coming to this earth, giving his life so that we could have life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. You became that sacrificial lamb, and you were slain. You hung on that cross, my God, and all the pain and the shame. You did it once for all of us, but you became victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because of your victory, we have the victory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're not alone. We're still with you, and you're with us, Lord. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that blood that washes us and cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow. Thank you, Jesus, because of those stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Glory, my God, we thank you so much for your wisdom, Jesus, and that you sent the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we say it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for the spirit of the living God just falling fresh upon us today, oh God. Thank you that we are forgiven, Lord, and we realize we must die daily to sin. There's always a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit, but we pray that our spirit man will overcome the enemy each and every time he tries to come and put a stumbling block in our way, Lord. We resist that devil, and the devil will flee, God. So we thank you, Lord, today for your word, Lord. Your word is powerful, Lord. Your word is rich. Your word is what we need and what we use, oh God, against the enemy, the devil, and all of his cohorts, oh God. So we are thanking you, Lord, today that we have the power to tread on serpents or on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us, oh God. So we are thanking you, God, for today, and thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for your joy. Peace, joy, and contentment in you is great gain. So we're glad today, oh God, for just the opportunity to be here and be a witness for you, God. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. I thank you. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just so grateful for all those who have joined us. We have people who have been here for a while. We have some new people coming on board to listen in. We appreciate you stopping by and listening in to the program today. And any day that you can during the week, we come here Monday through Friday at the same time from 6 to 7. So you're welcome to come. We have different people who lead us in the hour that we're in. We have different prayers that come forth. There are times we do the prayer request, and we just let the Lord just lead us in what we're supposed to be doing for him. So today we're going to go ahead and get into the word, and we'll see what we have time to do at the end. But today we are going into the book of Hosea, and we're going to talk about my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And during this time that we're living in, we truly need to have knowledge, first of all, knowledge of God, who he is, what he does for us, and what we should be doing so that we can reign with him in the eternal life when we leave these lives that we're in right now. So just a little summary of the book of Hosea. In the book of Hosea, during this the time period that we are reading about or that we read about, it was the time period of 750 B.C. to 6 B.C., and you will find prophecies that were fulfilled during this time. I would encourage anyone to take the time to read all of those chapters in the book of Hosea. There are 11 chapters there, and if you just read them, you'll get a lot of good insight about what was happening at this time. Also in this book, you will see where God told Hosea to marry a woman who would never be faithful. This marriage was like the relationship between God and Israel. Israel was not faithful to God. So Hosea was able to prophesy with great passion on how God felt about all of Israel's unfaithfulness. The book of Hosea contains warnings of the coming Assyrian invasion on the northern kingdom and the Babylonian invasion of the southern kingdom. The northern invasion occurred in 722 BC, and the invasion of the southern kingdom by the Babylonians would happen 150 years later. Nobody wanted to listen to Hosea. The book of Hosea contains the famous prophecy about Jesus living for a while in Egypt as a child. And so you will find that in Hosea you will find that information in Hosea chapter 11. His parents took him there when Joseph was told in a dream that King Herod was trying to kill the young Messiah. So they returned home from Egypt upon Herod's death, as noted in Matthew 2 and 15. There are only 14 chapters in this book. I thought I said 11, but it's 14 chapters in the book. And I encourage you to read it during your Bible study. You know, whenever you have time, you know, where a lot of people are not working as they normally would, and you have more time to read the word. So today we're going to focus on chapter 4 in the book of Hosea. So as we start here, I'm going to read the entire chapter, but we're going to focus on verses 1 through 6. So Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1, and if you have your Bible, you can read along. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." Verse 4, "Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they had strife with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother." Verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. We will go into more detail about that. Verse number 7 says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I charge their glory into shame. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Verse 11, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declare it unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Verse 13, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that does not understand shall fall. Verse 15. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. Neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. Verse 16, for Israel slided back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye. Verse 19, the wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. I tell you, these people were just in such bad array in their lives. They were just doing so many wrong things. And we see the same types of things happening in our country, in our world. And so during this time of disregard for God and his priest, prophets were sent to tell people of their faults and to warn them of the judgments of God. God does the same thing in this day and age. And so here we find Hosea as counsel for the King of Kings, opening an accusation against the people of Israel. He was working, trying to convince them of sin and of their misery, and the danger they were in because of their sin. He wanted them to repent and to reform. So Hosea shows them what were the grounds of God's controversy with them. They were full of vice and profaneness. We see this in verse number 1 and 2 in Hosea number 4. Let's go back over that. Hosea 4 and 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. So while we are looking here in these two verses, we see that there were many murders were causing blood to flow all over the place. And the blood was there was so much blood, it included members of the royal family, and people had no regard for life. We see in the world where we live today the very things that they were doing there. And the word of God also tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. And I was just thinking, that is so true. They're just different players. We have different people doing the same kinds of things that were going on there. They were lying and cheating, killing, stealing, committing adultery. They are just in the streets. I mean, many times you hear about people getting shot, people getting killed. I mean, you don't hear a whole lot of that right now because of this COVID-19 situation. But people are still out there doing crazy things. They're shooting folks up. They're going into homes, breaking in. They're hijacking people. They're doing all kinds of things that are so against the will of God. And so God doesn't want to see that kind of thing. He wants people to turn to him. And one of the reasons why people are not listening and heeding the word of God is because the word of God is not being taught in a lot of situations. A lot of churches are not teaching the word of God. They're teaching to itching ears. They're teaching a gospel of prosperity in the natural instead of people prospering in the spirit. The word tells us that we should prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. Our souls must prosper in order for us to see manifestation in the natural. So that is the way it should be done. People should be teaching about change. People's lives need to change. But we see here in the book of Hosea how this prophet, I mean this priest, was trying to get the people to do the right thing. This prophet, priest, we know that God wants to use anybody who will do his will. So the things that we're seeing in our world today, all of the things that we spoke of, these are sins against God. And we know that the whole land will be laid to waste, as we see here in verse number 8, I mean 3. Let's go to back to the book of Hosea, chapter 3. I mean chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." And so when the sentence was passed upon these guilty people and the polluted land, it should be utterly destroyed and laid to waste. The whole land is infected with sin, and therefore the whole land shall mourn under God's sore judgment. They shall sit in mourning. They will be stripped of all of its wealth and beauty, as the valleys are said to shout for joy and sing when there is plenty and peace. So here they are said to mourn when the war is there and famine. They are made desolate. The whole land shall be brimstone and salt and burning, as was threatened in the law. Because of the sin, the Lord said this would happen to these people in the book of Hosea. The Israelites just didn't want to do right. And so Deuteronomy, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23. And it says, "And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath." You know, God gets angry when he's trying to get attention, that people's attention, and they're not listening. We know that God wants the attention of people all around the world, everywhere. He wants people to pay attention to him and give him the honor and to prepare for eternity. These people here had broken all of God's commandments, and now God threatens to take away all their comfort. The land mourns when there is neither grass for the cattle nor herbs for the service of man. And then everyone that dwells therein shall languish for want of nice food to support a wasting life. Their life was wasting away, but they still wanted to eat good food, and they would fret for want of the usual dainties for delight. The beast of the field would languish. And we know that God shows us that what happened then happens down through time. I mean, there are different situations that we have seen down through time that the people who were against God, they would still want to live a lavish life and do whatever they felt like doing. And we see that in this day and age. We see people who, in this United States of America, they have taken away, they have made laws that were contrary to the will of God. They have put laws in place in the United States of America where we live that are just totally wrong. And so God, you know, he sees these things, and he wants people to change. He wants us to put the word out there, even as we get these calls from people for prayer, calls for people because they're calling us because they want us to pray for them concerning maybe a sickness or some kind of issue they may be having. But at the same time, as I share, you know, when people call me, we want to let them know that they can receive Jesus as their Savior, that they can come to Jesus Christ, because as we saw Hosea wanting to warn the people, wanting people to change from what they were doing, and he could see disdain in God, the thoughts that he had toward these people, that they weren't trying to do right. And so those things that they wanted to continue to have in their lives, he took it away. And we see in this day and age, many things have been taken away from people that they would normally have. And so we see, let's look in Jeremiah chapter 14. We will read this scripture. Jeremiah 14, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass." So even the animals didn't have what they needed in the time of God's bringing about judgment for certain people that were disregarding him, that were not doing his will. The destruction of the fruits of the earth was so great that there was not food for the fowls of the air to keep them alive. They shall suffer with man, and their dying or growing lean will be a punishment to those who used to have their tables replenished with wild fowl, wild birds. The fishes of the sea shall be taken away or gathered together, that they may go away to some other coast. And then the fishing trade will be worth nothing. It was part of one of the plagues of Egypt when God slew their fish. As we see here in Psalms 105, verse 29, he said he turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. That was one of the plagues. You know, God had to take away these things because Pharaoh was not doing right. Pharaoh was just being hard-hearted. And so when the waters are dried, the fish die. So let's just see here in Isaiah. I'm going through quite a few scriptures this morning, and I hope that I'm not going too fast where you can't get them down. But if you can't, you can always contact me, and I'll give them to you over the phone or text or something. So here, Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 2, it says, "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and died for thirst." Because the people were not doing right, the Lord had to dry up the rivers, and they were not able to eat the fish because the fish were dying. And then in Zephaniah 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, "I will utterly consume all things from off the land, said the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, said the Lord." These are examples of when man became so disobedient to God. It is just that the lower creatures would not be able to service man. Those fowls and those things that they ate, they would not be there available for man. We, God's children, have good reason to admire God's patience and mercy to our land, because even though there's so much swearing, the lying, the killing, the cheating, the stealing, and adultery, fornicating, and all manners of sin in this land where we live, there's plenty of food on some of our tables. God has truly been merciful to us. During this current crisis, we hear of many people having to find food for their families. And we also know that many of us are helping to supply food and supply the needs of others through our donations and sharing of our resources. But God has blessed many of us during this calamity, during this situation that we're in, that we are able to help those who don't have what they need for their lives. We hear of different people who have run out of food. Some of the schools are providing. Some of the businesses are providing. Different ones are coming out. These millionaires, some of them are using their resources to help. But we are in a situation that we need God. We need God to help us to get through this. We need God to help the people's hearts to change. I know God is speaking out right now that people's lives will change, that people will come to the knowledge of the truth. Those who are in the streets, those gangs who are out there, we continue to cover them in prayer, that they will make a change. Those people who have hardness of their hearts, those who have evil in their hearts, that God will change their minds and that they will come and live for Jesus. They will come and ask for forgiveness. I mean, that is so important, that we continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ until he tells us not to do it anymore. And so, you know, there are times when he will tell the prophets not to pray for the people, not to warn them because they're not listening. And so it seems reasonable that as long as there is any hope, we should reprove sinners for their sins. It is a duty that we owe to one another to give and to take reproofs. It was one of the laws of Moses. I mean, that means, you know, like if we as Christians, we see, let's just say you see me doing something that's against the will of God. You see me lying. You see me cheating. You see me doing something. You should, as a woman or man of God, should come to me and tell me to reprove me, and I should be open to that reproof. That is what God would have us to do, to be open to reproof, to have our hearts open so that when somebody sees us stumbling and doing something wrong and they come and speak to us, and people should be bold enough, and you can do it with kindness. You can tell somebody, well, sister, you need to change what you're doing. You need not to do that anymore. You should change and not be out there fornicating, you know, things like that. When you rebuke your neighbor, it is an act of brotherly love. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 tells us that. So let's read Leviticus 19, verse 17. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So, you know, this is letting us know when you see your brother in a fault, because you love him, you're going to tell him about that. You're not going to allow him to stay in his sin. If you don't tell him about the sin, that means that you don't care about your brother or your sister. So it's an act of brotherly love. Sometimes there is a need to rebuke sharply, not only to reprove, but to strive. Sometimes it's hard for men to part with their sin. There are times when whoever it is, man, woman, boy or girl, it's difficult sometimes for people to let go of some of the sin that they're in. So there are times you may have to strive with that person and tell them repeatedly, you need to come out of that. You need to stop doing that. That is brotherly love. It's a sign that people are doomed for ruin when God says, let them not be reproved. Yet this is to be understood as God's commands sometimes to the prophets is not to pray for the people. In fact, I had an instance years ago when I lived in the Atlanta area. I lived here and then I moved away. But when I was living here the first time, I remember going to the hospital to see this person. It was and the person had been using drugs, and they felt like they were having a heart attack, and so they ended up in the hospital. So I went to see the person in the hospital, and as I was sitting there, I heard the Lord said, don't pray for this person. And when the Lord told me that, I was sitting there on the in the chair, and the person saw me looking so sad because I felt sad in my heart that I was not able to pray for this person, and they asked me what happened. I said, why are you looking like that? And I didn't want to tell them. Then I finally told them, and then they got upset with me. They said that I was lying, and they started telling people that I was telling a lie, that God did not tell me. I said, well, you know what? There's scripture in the Word that tells the prophets not to pray for this people. When a person is set on sinning, God knows it and does not want us to protect them through our prayers. Our prayers protect people and keep them from the wrath of God being on them because we're praying, asking God for mercy. Sometimes people are so hardened in sin, they're so ripe for ruin that we would be of little help either to deal with them or to deal with God for them or to go to God for them. It's a real bad situation when reprovers are silenced. A person or silenced and not talking to a person or talking to a group such as the Israelites, when those who have just been so against the rules of God, against the laws of God, and have broken his covenant, it's bad when the Lord tells somebody not to pray. Let me just read Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11. Jeremiah 14 and 11 says, then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. God didn't want Jeremiah to pray for these people who were just doing wrong. And that's what he does sometimes with us. I mean, he sees the people across the nation. He sees people in our families. He sees people just doing wrong, and there are times he needs to just get their attention. In fact, this particular person, not too long after that situation in the hospital, they were driving a truck across country, and they ended up in some place, and somebody just beat them up so bad. I mean, they were driving this big semi-trailer truck. They couldn't drive home. They couldn't drive to their next destination. In fact, they had to get on a bus and go back home, and their father basically didn't recognize them when he came to pick them up at the bus station. So I'm just saying there are times when the Lord wants to get somebody's attention a different way, or to bring about the, you know, sometimes we reward people because they're good. And so that was that reward. Sometimes that reward is not good because you have sown bad seed. And so the Lord wants to do what he needs to do to get the attention of that person, or to let them know, hey, you just can't do any old thing and expect to continue to have good in your life. And so sometimes the reason for the order is to, you know, when the people, God says, don't pray for this people, is to let them not reprove one another because they are determined to go on in sin. And no reproofs would cure them of that. People have it in their hearts. They want to do wrong. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to just be in sin. I want to go and fornicate. I want to smoke reefer. I want to get high. I want to lie. I want to cheat. They just have it in their hearts. They want to do that, as we see Hosea speaking to the people and trying to get them to turn from their ways. There are people who, in this instance, in this Old Testament, there were people who were striving with the priest. They had grown so very impudent in their sin. They were so insolent and didn't want reproof. And so during Hosea's time, they were so full of sin, they would even defy anybody, even the priest himself, if they should give them the smallest of reproof. They had no regard for his character nor his office. So how could one expect that they should be taken, given reproof, and a private person tell them? They're not going to listen to a private person if they're not listening to the priest. They don't respect his office. There are sinners who have such wicked and hardened hearts, they will quarrel with their ministers for reproving and dealing with them according to the word. We see that in this day and age, that people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what they're doing is wrong. It's an ordinance of God for their reformation. They need to be reformed, and they have forfeited the benefit of brotherly reproof when they deny, when they reject. Perhaps this may refer to the late wickedness of Joash, king of Judah, and his people, who stoned Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, for delivering them a message from God. So let me just read the scripture here in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 20 through 21. And it says, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. My goodness. That's just not good. But they did it. Zechariah was a priest, and they had no regard for his office. We see people in this day and age where we live that they have no regard for it. In fact, people don't respect some of the leaders of our churches. They don't respect Christians. Many of them have just disregard the fact that we are trying to help them. Then secondly, God also is determined to proceed in their ruin. Hosea 4 and 5. It says, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. So this tells us, because they will not take the reproof, because these people did not take the reproof, they would not listen to the advice, they shall fall. And it is vain for any person to think of preventing it, for the decree has gone forth. They will stumble. This is what happened. They shall stumble and fall in the day, and the prophet, the false prophet that flattered and seduced the people, shall fall with the people in the night. So when the prophet or the leader is telling the people what they want to hear, they're not reproving the people, both them and the people are going to fall day and night. They will continue to fall into one calamity after the other, and the darkness of the night will not help to cover them from trouble, nor the light of the day will help them to be able to flee from the trouble when it comes time for them to receive their judgment. The prophets were blind leaders, and the people were blind followers, and to the blind day and night are alike, so that whether it be day or night, both shall fall together into the ditch. It says they shall fall in the day when they fall, when the fall is least feared by the people. They think maybe in the daytime I'll be able to get away, but no, whether it's day or night, they were going to fall into the ditch. They would fall because they had disregarded the Father, our God. And so the prophet himself, when he gets into trouble, it's a terrible thing because he's not telling the people what they need to do. And the blood is going to be on their hands when the prophet doesn't tell the people the right thing. There are so many people out there in these churches who are teaching false doctrine, and they're teaching so that people will like them because they want to have their egos boosted. They have a spirit of pride. And so the Lord doesn't like that. And so when the judgment comes, it's going to be bad for those who are not teaching the right thing. When it comes time for them to receive their judgment, it's going to be intolerable. It's going to be super strong, you know. It's better not to know than to know and not do. So the thing is, many times children think that they're going to be protected by their mothers. And so this here, when we see Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, says the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? And here, Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. There had been priests who were doing their duty in teaching the people the truth. The people strove against the priest. They killed Zechariah, which discouraged or caused some of the priests to neglect their office. They saw that Zechariah was stoned, and it was like, I don't want to get stoned. I don't want to be hurt by these people, so I'll just do something or tell them something that they want to hear. And so this is one reason why some of the people are receiving wrong information. The people strove with the priest that should have taught them the knowledge of God. So the knowledge that they needed was not available because the priest were afraid, and because the people were striving with the priest. And so as a result, they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. They were not getting the knowledge. The knowledge was not there. And even now, you know, we as a body of Christ, we need to get into the word individually. We need to be studying so that we will have the true knowledge of God. We must understand those that rebel against the light can expect to perish in the dark. This is a charge upon the priest, who should have continued teaching the people the knowledge of the truth as Solomon the preacher did. We see this in Ecclesiastes 12 and 9. Ecclesiastes 12 and 9 says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The priest did not do this, or did it in such a manner that it was as if they had not done it at all. So there was no knowledge of God in the land, and because there was no vision or none with any purpose, the people perished. So Proverbs 29 and 18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Ignorance is the mother of destruction. Lack of knowledge is the ruin of a person or a people. So when people go to the churches and they are not receiving the knowledge of God, they're not receiving the truth about God, that is the beginning of the ruin of a person and of a nation. So ignorance is, you know, people say ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. We cannot fall on that and say ignorance is bliss. We need to know the truth, because if we don't know the truth, we're not going to do what is right for the Lord. And we're not going to know what to do in situations that we may face. The priests were responsible for teaching God's children. They did not live up to their responsibility. Therefore, the knowledge the people needed was not available to them. That is why they were destroyed. Both priests and people rejected knowledge. Therefore, God rejected them. The reason why the people did not learn and the priests did not teach was not because they did not have the light, but because they hated it. Not because they did not have ways of coming to the knowledge of God and of communicating it, but because they had no heart for it. They rejected it. They did not desire the knowledge of God's ways, but turned their backs on it and shut their eyes against the light. Therefore, God said, I will also reject thee. I will refuse to recognize you and to own you. You will not know me. I will therefore say, depart from me. I know you not. That's a part of verse number 6. Thou shalt be no priest to me. The priests were no longer admitted to the privileges or employed in the services of the priesthood, nor would they ever be received again, as we find here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44 and 13. And it says, and they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. So I submit that the ministers, the bishops, the pastors, preachers, and all church leaders that reject knowledge, they are grossly ignorant and scandalous and should not be followed by anybody. When we want to know the truth, as I heard our sister Juanita say on yesterday, when you know the truth, God will allow you to have the truth, to know the truth. He will get it to you. He will open up an opportunity for you to receive the truth. People of God will no longer be a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. So we see here in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, it says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6 says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God's people, by rejecting knowledge, forfeit their honor and profane their crown, their own crown. They forgot the law of God, neither desired nor endeavored to retain it in their minds. They didn't even try to transmit it to the remembrance of their posterity. They didn't even teach their children, and therefore God will forget them and their children. Parents did not educate them as they should have in the knowledge of God and their duty to him. Therefore, God will disown them because they are not in covenant with him. This is the word of God. If parents do not teach their children when they are young to remember their creator, they cannot expect their creator to remember them. And so we as a people of God, we need to follow the word of God. Teach our children the way they should go. I know my parents, they taught us, you know, my mom and dad, they had nine children, and all of us went to church. We knew the word. Mom and dad, they taught us in the home. They gave us study in the home. They sat there and they put us on our knees, and they all got on their knees. We all got on our knees and we prayed. My mom and dad taught us, you know, so if we go in the wrong direction, it's because we made that decision. We turned away from the Lord. So I'm just saying this morning, each and every one of us needs to have the knowledge of the truth. We need to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Let me just read something here in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, 1 through 3. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So I submit to each and every one this morning, let us seek the Lord while he may be found. Let us call upon him while he is yet near. He wants to see us serving him. He wants us to have a heart for him. He wants us to do his will. And so, you know, we don't want to be in lack of knowledge. We don't want to be where we don't know the word of God, that we're stumbling around as somebody in darkness. We don't want to be in darkness. We want to be in the light of Jesus Christ. We want to have the truth in our hearts. And even with the things that are going on, things that are happening in the spirit realm that we need to know. And so as we have a relationship with God, as we draw to him, he will draw nigh to us. As we seek him, we will find him. As we knock on the doors, we know the doors will be open to us to have an understanding of who God is and what he wants us to do. There's so many different things that are happening in the spirit realm that we need to be in the face of God. We need to be in prayer so that we will know how to handle different situations and handle different circumstances. There are so many aspects of the word that helps us as we go along, as we follow the word of God. We want to continue to seek him early in the morning, seek him late at night, seek him during the day. You know, there are times when I may be running or I may be driving or I may be just in a place where I see things that are going on in somebody's life. I may not have an opportunity. Just say I'm driving down the road and I see somebody in a bad way. I just, you know, say a prayer that God will bless them, that God would help them, that God would open up their eyes to him, that God would deliver them out of whatever situation they may be in. So, you know, this morning I just thank the Lord for this word and that he helps us to understand where we need to go by seeking his face, by being in a place of just listening to his voice. There are times we need to just put everybody out and just listen to God and not anything else, but just to hear his voice and to understand his word so that we can be those spiritual giants that God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to just stumble around in darkness and end up in a place where we shouldn't be. He wants us to be real with him and to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So, Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. I pray that we have heard something that will be beneficial to us, oh God. I pray that each and every one of us will not only hear the word, but we will live your word. We will do your word, oh God, in the name of Jesus, my God. We just pray, Lord, for each and every one of us to just have a closer walk with thee, oh God, to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, oh God, because you're the one and only wise God, and you're the one who gives us strength for the journey, oh God. You're the one who builds us up when we may be torn down, oh God. You're the one who lifts us up out of a miry clay, oh God, and you establish our going. You put our feet on a solid rock, oh God. That solid rock is Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. We thank you for what you're doing right now, God, and we thank you that we will look forward to just moving in a better place with you, oh God, a better understanding of you and who you are and what you want us to do. So I thank you for that today. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. I say hallelujah and amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So right now what I'm going to do, we're going to open up the mics. And if you have something you want to say, something you want to share, were you encouraged this morning? Is there something that you know that you can do better? Open up the lines for that right now. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Pastor Dolly. I appreciate the teaching this morning. Very good word. It's very relevant at this time and the thing that we're going through right now. And it speaks very clearly. It speaks very prophetically to the situation that we're going through and all that we're going through. And it reminds me of a few things that I need to do to go back to a few people and just try again. Because I had an incident where God told me not to pray for a person, but it was years ago. You have a very good memory because I don't remember the occasion. And I didn't think that God said that. Then he said it to me, and then I see it in the word, and I hear it again today. I go back and just warn a few people, a few mothers and a few men, about the time that they're going through. mostly about their children and that they give the children the word of God, because in Stockholm, you said that your parents did you as ours did. It was 11 of us. They put us on our knees. They taught us the word of God. Maybe not as consistent, but it's a train of a child in the way that it should go. And when a child gets older, we're not quite a lot of parents that I have seen, the children are just nursing themselves on the video games. I mean, they can play the games, they can take the phone and do all kinds of things with the telephone. They know of God, but they have very little word in them. So I would go back in my business, I start to warn them that God is a God of judgment and about their children and about things that they may be fallen in sin. And they must seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the rest of these things be added on to them, how the Lord will destroy. And I'll leave it at that this morning because of the time. But I thank God for the word. It's very much appreciated. Thank you for this time. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Anybody else have something you want to share this morning? Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I'm requesting prayer.
Okay, what is that?
Good morning, Linda. This is Marie. Okay, go ahead.
Lord bless and keep in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God.
Okay, Sister Marie, go ahead. That was not her voice asking for prayer. That was somebody else. Sister Marie, go ahead, and then we'll go back.
Oh, I just want to say thank you for the word, darling. Good morning, everyone.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Good to hear your voice. God bless you. All right.
Good morning. Good morning, that was Sister Linda asking for prayer.
Okay. All right, well, let us come in and pray for Sister Linda right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity, oh God, to cover our sister in prayer, oh God. We know, God, today that you know all things and all powers in your hands, God. Yes, Lord, we protect her, Lord. Deliver her, God, in the name of the Father, God, in the name of Jesus. We did it as a God. My God, my God, you are the one and only God. God, you're the perfect God. You're the all creator.
Thank you, Lord.
Our sister in this hour, Lord, it's in the name of Jesus we pray. We say hallelujah and amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're thanking God today. We're at the top of the hour. We thank you for being here today. We know that God is good and his mercies endure forever. We're going to open up one more time to find out if anybody has something you want to share before we go. We just got about a minute or so here. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. This is the one leader. As I'm listening, you know, to the scriptures, I'm so glad you were in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament, you know, sometimes it seems like it's a little bit rougher than the words in the New Testament. But something just came and was coming across my heart that many times we as parents, that we have children that are disobedient, we have children that are going contrary to everything that God says. And we keep putting in ourselves in a way where we can be, that we allow ourselves to be open. We put ourselves in a way that because they are children, that we keep opening ourselves up to be an enabler to what they're doing. And sometimes even with our children, we have to take our hands off and release these kids to the Lord and let God do what he does best, so they can be delivered, so they can be healed, so they can come to a place that if they were trained in the right way, they will come back to it. So as parents, sometimes we are children's own worst enemies because we allow ourselves to become enablers. So, you know, at this morning, that just as you were just teacher this morning that just kept coming across my heart, that some of us as parents need to back up, step back, and allow God to bring deliverance and bring healing, everything that our children need, and just get out of his way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's true. I had to do that with my daughter, and I thank God that I was willing to do that. So now she did receive Jesus as her Savior. I think she was 16 or 17, and she's 40 now. So she's still serving God, and she's teaching her own children. But I had to ask the Lord. In fact, I told the Lord, I said, I'm asking you to do what you need to do to bring her to your kingdom, to bring her to yourself. And my God did that. You know, she ended up in some trouble, and I thank the Lord for just, you know, doing what he had to do to help her to know that she needed him. So you're so right, Sister Juanita. We appreciate you sharing that. Amen.
Amen. Me too. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, is everybody okay today? Just pray that everybody's having a wonderful day. Just get started. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the hour of power of prayer. So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this hour of power of prayer, and we pray that each and every one will go and live a wonderful life for the rest of their lives, oh God. And, Lord, as we get through these days that are ahead, we thank you that you're right there in the midst of everything, oh God. Jesus spoke to the storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." And I say right now, peace be still to every storm in our lives, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, today that we're trusting and depending on you, Father. You're the one and only wise God. You're the one who we can call on in the time of trouble. We can call on you when nobody else is around, nobody else is near. So we thank you, Lord, today that you're with us, Lord. You will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, help us to just love you and do your will, Father, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because so many people need you today. And we thank you for every opportunity that you give us, Lord, to speak a word of truth, oh God. Speak a word in love, oh God, because by your loving kindness, you draw us, oh God. So we thank you, Lord, that some people even may need to be snatched out of their sin with a fiery testimony, oh God. So we thank you, Lord, today. So whatever way that we need to do it, you will let us know. You give us that wisdom. You give us the knowledge and the understanding. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. We say thank you. We say hallelujah. And amen. Everybody have a beautiful day. I love each and every one of you. Let somebody else know to come and listen in tomorrow. We will be here tomorrow, same station, same time. And we look forward to what God has in store as Apostle Horsley will lead us on tomorrow. Amen. Amen and amen.
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 Well, praise the Lord. We are so grateful for each and every one who has joined us today. There may be someone out there who has not received Jesus as your Savior. We invite you to do the sinner's prayer with us today, and then you will be saved as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you will repeat after me, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart, that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. I ask you, Father, to help me to grow in the things of God. Well, we thank God for each and every one who did the sinner's prayer. The angels are rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. And what I would suggest is that you find a good Bible-teaching church to attend in your region. Find a church that will teach you about Jesus and his love so that you will be able to grow in the knowledge of the truth. Right now, if you desire to send a donation, an offering or gift to support our ministry, you may send it to Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministry. The address is 3171 Ardley Road, Southwest. The street is spelled A-R-D-L-E-Y. That's 3171 Ardley Road Southwest in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Zip code 30311. If you desire to listen to a session after we're off the air, you can log into blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Once again, that's blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Or you may dial the number 605-313-4929. The access code is 278961 pound. Select the pound sign for current session. And if you desire to listen to a previous session, please give me a call or send me a text. My number is 904-859-1022. Once again, the number is 904-859-1022. I decree that the plowman overtakes the reaper in your life and that you live in continuous abundance. And I decree that the favor of God continues to overtake you as you live for Jesus Christ. Amen.